Amen. Well, y'all be seated. I went by a couple of y'all. Man, I didn't know y'all could still move that way. Amen. Well, if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for coming and being a part today. And we pray that your time with us will truly be a blessing. Don't forget, Valentine's dinner is going to be Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. Where's Arnold? We're having fried chicken. I've been trying to get fried chicken from that man, but he just won't do it, you know. We got to have baked chicken, okay? No. We're gonna have baked chicken. We're going to have this awesome green beans, and then we're going to have some potatoes with some salad and all of those wonderful things that Arnold cooks. And he's a great cook. So y'all come and be a part. Amen. Give Arnold a hand clap for it. He's good. He's good at what he does. He is going to fry some chicken for me. I just don't know when that's going to happen. Okay, I told y'all last week I was tired of being fat, right? Okay? Well, I'm 11 pounds down, okay? Amen. To the glory of God. Amen. Y'all can really start clapping when I lose the other 50, okay? Also, if you would like to be a part of a ministry, some of y'all come in and go, you know, I just don't know what to do. This ain't a ministry for a fat boy, okay? But this says, are you looking for something to save you? Do you feel that you have the power to influence? Then Cookie Drop is a team that you need to be a part of. Amen? Now, most of y'all, if you've been a guest with us, you've had cookies delivered to your door. And they are good cookies. They big cookies. They awesome cookies. They fattening cookies. But if you lay down and eat them, they will be low fat, okay? So if you'd like to be a part, there are cards outside. We would love for you to be a part of that team. Also, we had the finance ministry or the business meeting on Wednesday night, and we have agreed as a church to sign a commitment letter from the bank, and the bank has agreed to loan the church up to $2.1 million. Amen. Amen. Now, that's pending the appraisal. And then as soon as that comes back, it has locked in our interest rate. So when that comes back and the church makes a decision, we're going to sit down, we'll have another finance meeting, and then when we get ready to actually sign the papers to build, we will put it all on the table. You can ask all the questions you want, because we all need to be a part of going to this next step, okay? So God has blessed us. That's the first hurdle that we've had. The other pieces of property, one is already sold, and the other piece of property is under contract, and that ought to come in, and that is somewhere around 1.4, Arnold, 1.5, something like that? Gross?
825.
Huh?
825.
No, for both of them. Amen. So God has really blessed us. 1.7 million. I was like, eight, man. I got more than that. So, anyhow, well, we're glad that you guys are here this morning. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. The only thing that's required in this church to be a part of the Lord's Supper is that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know the Lord and you've got God in your life and you've got the Holy Spirit, then this table is His table. It is not ours, and you guys be more than welcome to come and participate. The name or the title that I gave the message this morning is Then and Them, and we'll explain as we go. Last week, we spoke of the importance of focusing our lives on the cross. Now, the cross without the crown is no good, and the crown without the cross is no good. But I want you to see the importance of us today of focusing on the cross, because if you focus on the cross, then it will really help you have the true perspective of what God through Christ has done for us. Last Sunday, I asked the church to close their eyes, and then I ask a series of questions. I said, if you suffer from fear, then I want you to stand. And some of y'all stood. If you suffer from anxiety or worry, and we went through this long list of things that we all deal with. And then I told y'all to stand and then open your eyes. And when you opened your eyes, you saw that there were many people in this church that were standing. And what I was attempting to do for all of us is to give us a visual that we are all in the same boat. We all worry. We all have anxiety. Sometimes we're fearful. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And, you know, I joke when I say this, but I think all of us in this room are about three pickles short of a quart, okay? That's just who we are. We all come from dysfunctional families. Sometimes we are the one that's dysfunctional, but we all have issues, and none of us are any different. But here's the problem. Many people won't focus on the cross, but they'll focus on the crown. And then when they begin to focus on the crown, they begin to see how unworthy they are. And when you and I begin to see our lives and how unworthy we are to be in the presence of God, then we try to work our way back into something that you already got. Now, you have to understand that when you prayed to receive Christ, life was no longer about you. It's all about what God through Christ has done for you. Without the cross, there is no crown. Without the crown, candidly, there is no cross. But one of Satan's tools, in the midst of all of this, is to make us draw our attention away from what most is most important, and candidly, that's the cross. We talked about Peter last week, and when you read the scriptures, I think Peter could probably mess up a one-car parade with jumper cables. I mean, Peter was just a mess up. I mean, Peter talked when he should have been quiet. He was quiet when he should have talked. He did things that he shouldn't have done. You know, he got fearful. He got anxiety, and you know, his whole life was truly a mess. But Jesus knew that Peter had failed and that Peter was going to fail. Church, Jesus knows that you have fallen, and he knows that you're going to fall. The Bible says not one person in this room is perfect. And then it says, no, not one. When Peter rebuked Jesus, and he said, oh, God forbid, Peter was focusing on the crown, and he didn't even look at the cross. Jesus' whole ministry pointed his disciples to the cross, and then Jesus, I can't even imagine what Peter felt like, but I got to tell you, somebody worked off his feelings. Jesus goes to Peter and he says, Peter, get behind me because you're nothing but Satan. And then he told Peter, he said, you're nothing but a stumbling block to me. And then he said, your interest is on man and your interest needs to be on God. Now, again, I can't imagine because Peter loved the Lord. He'd been with the Lord for 30-something years and you know, he'd worked hard to please the Lord, and now all of a sudden, Jesus telling him, get behind me, Satan, I'm tired of you. You know, you're a stumbling block. Back off, because your interest is wrong. Now, who do you think's going to play off of that? Satan. So what does Satan do? Well, Satan begins to mess with his mind. And, you know, we're going to find out in just a little bit that God, or Jesus, already told Peter, he said, you're about to fail again because your attitude, because you're focusing on the wrong thing. And Jesus knew that Peter was not ready for this overwhelming, dreadful night that was about to face him. Now, Jesus knew that Peter didn't have the strength within to fight this fight by himself. A lot of us in this church have fought a lot of fights over the years. And I got to tell you, Jesus looks at us and says, y'all don't have the strength by yourself to fight the fight. You just can't do it. And Jesus knew that Peter needed something that he didn't have. Jesus looks at us and says, church, you need something that you don't have. And that was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that Peter was just about to fight the biggest supernatural battle that he was ever going to fight in his life. And he knew to fight the battle, he needed supernatural tools, and he knew that Peter didn't have the tool. Now, I said before, when Jesus told Peter, get behind me, you can only imagine the emotions in his head. And I said, you know, who began to work with him? Well, Satan did. And we know that the rooster crowed. And the rooster crowed, and every time Peter heard that, it was telling Peter, I just fell short of the glory of God. And he wasn't focusing on the cross, he was focusing on the crown. And when you and I mess up, and we will, I promise you that what Satan's going to want us to do is to hear the rooster crow. And he wants us to focus on the crown to go, that is such a high crown, there is no way that I could reach that. And if you always try to work your way into the presence of something you already got, then you're working for something, and then you finally get to the place to go, I can't get there. And then Satan's got us where he wants us. I got to tell you, church, you can't get any closer to Jesus than you already are. And you can't get any closer to God than you already have, because it's the cross that got the crown, and it's because of the crown you got the cross. In 1 Corinthians, we read about Jesus speaking to the disciples, and Jesus made reference. He says, do all things, church, in remembrance of me. It's because of Jesus that we have access to God. It's because of Jesus, church, that you and I can get up every day and go, greater is he that's in me today than he that's in this world. Every day we can get up because of Jesus to go, with God that I now have access to, there is nothing for me that is too large that I can't conquer today. You and I've got to understand it's because of the cross and because of Jesus. And as you come to this table in a little bit, that you do all things in remembrance of him. But what are we to remember, church? You know, a lot of times we come to this table and we just kind of do things because it's a religious ceremony that we do. But I want you to leave this table today changed. But this is how I want you to leave. You have to remember that we have a God, the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings, that looked down upon you and me and said, you guys are in a mess, and you can't fix the mess. So I'm going to leave my heavenly home. I'm going to come to this earth. I'm going to manifest myself in a little baby named Jesus, and I'm even going to tell you to name him Emmanuel so that you will remember that means God is with us. And then what I want you to remember is this, that I loved you, that I cared for you, I want a fellowship with you, and I want you in my life. I want you to remember that Jesus, who is God, gave up his deity, and he walked on this earth for 33 years, and he walked as you and me. And for the 33 years, he showed mankind, this is what you can do when the power of God comes into your life. I want you to remember how he demonstrated to his disciples what it meant to be a witness to a lost and a dying world. And church, I want you to remember that the same resurrection power that raised our Lord from the dead is the same resurrection power that raises you and me from the dead. Amen. We are not the same people that we used to be. And I want you to remember that apart from Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we can do absolutely nothing, and candidly, apart from the power of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, you and I have no power to accomplish what God has called us to do. Today, I'm going to give you a piece of bread. And when you take that little piece of bread, it is symbolic of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've all come up here, we've all said, we've all read, this is my body I give to you. But church is bigger than that. He gave his body willingly to do for us what we couldn't do on our own. Willfully, he laid on an old wooden cross. And willfully, he allowed them to put spikes in his wrists and in his feet. He did that for you and me. Prior to that, that flesh, that body that laid on that cross had been beaten and flogged by a cat of nine tails to a place that his body was irrecognizable. Nobody even knew who he was. And I can't even imagine the pain that he went through. And then, church, I want you to understand, because he gave his body on that cross at one point in time while he hung on that cross in our place, his daddy looked at him and said, I can't even look at you, because all the sin of mankind was placed upon him. Everything that you and I have done, past, present, and future, was placed upon him. And he did it because he loved his dad. And he did it because his dad loves us. And the greatest thing about the body is that it gave you and me access to God Almighty. After that, I'm going to give you a piece or a cup. And inside that cup is juice. And the juice is symbolic of the blood that was shed on the cross. He even says that this blood is a new covenant. We don't have to live like they did in the old days. We get to live differently today, and we live differently because we're under a new covenant. We don't have to do things to work our way to get right. We have been made right. We are righteous because of what Christ has done on the cross. That means that you and I have a right standing, church, that when we get up in the morning, even though we might have done crazy things the night before, we can still stand up to go, I'm righteous because of what Christ did for me. Doesn't give us the right to sin, but God knows that we fail, and God knows that we're going to fall. God knows those things. But because of the blood that was shed, look at Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, by his beating, by his blood, the Bible says that we're healed. Last week, church, we talked about the Latin prefix, the word D-I-S. And D-I-S in Latin means a part. It means a reversing force that comes against us. The Latin word for ease means tranquility. It means peace of mind. It means the wholeness of our body. How do you think, if we only focus on the crown and not the cross, how do you think Satan is going to come against us? He's going to come against us with dis-ease. And what Satan's task is in all of our lives is to stir up the pot enough that he takes our ability and he turns it into disability. He takes our whole bodies and he turns them into bodies that are now diseased bodies. He takes from us tranquility that he wants you and I to have. He takes from us the joy that was bought for and won on the cross. He has taken everything from us that he can, because we've allowed it, because we only focus on the crown going, I'm not worthy to be with the crown. And you're right, but it's because of the cross and what was accomplished on the cross that the cross gets me to the crown. And if I got the crown, I got God, I got everything I need. One of the challenges for us, and we don't do it, is that because of what he accomplished on that crown or on the cross and the commission that he has given you and me, that in this room today, there are some times that we need to be Moses. There are some times that we need to go to our brothers and our sisters who are being held in bondage. Might be held in bondage because of pornography. They might be held in bondage because of drugs and alcohol. It might be over anger. It might be over money. I don't know what, but I know that Satan wants to take you out of that peace. He wants to put you in the trash. And there's some times that we need to be Moses. We need the boldness to go to our people and go, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. And I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before, but I'm going to free you through the Word of God, what has been holding you down for years. Amen. And then there's some times, church, where you and I need to be Joshua. You know, those of y'all that are in the medical field know that there is a rise and increase today, and it's satanic, where people are killing themselves. Every day you hear somebody committing suicide. And the problem with suicide is that people, not that they want to end their life, they feel they have no hope. Well, we need to be Joshua. And we need to get down right in the midst of all the blood, the gut, and the gore to lift someone up to go, let me take you to somebody and I'll show you got some hope. Let me take you over here and I'll show you somebody that can help you get past where you are today. Oh, yeah, we took you out, and it's easy to get out, but it's hard to stay out. But when you got God in the picture, you always got hope. And if you got hope, then you got another day, and it's all because of God. But, church, you and I have got to begin to think differently, that the cross is important. The cross gives us what we need in our lives, and we, if we have been born again, we have accepted the commission that God has placed on our lives, and that's to go into this world. Look at John 17. He says, I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished by the sons of perdition, or the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. And even as I am not of the world, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. When you think about the Great Commission, you would think that our Lord would have asked his daddy to empower the disciples, to give them this unbelievable, miraculous working power. But Jesus didn't say that. What Jesus said to them, he says, keep them away from the evil one. Because, see, he knew that what Satan wanted to do was to sift them apart. What's the best way he can mess with our families? Sift us apart. What's the best way he can mess with this church? He could sift us apart. And he says, no, he says, don't take them out. Keep them here. I'm just asking that you protect them. And then he says this. He said, would you sanctify them with the word? Sanctify means that we've been set apart. How can you leave this building today sanctified? Because of the Word. See, the lost doesn't get to speak the Word because they don't know the Word. But we're not lost, we're saved, we're supernatural because Christ lives in us and we live with Christ and we've got a God greater than Satan. We've been given authority over the evil one, and you and I can go out into this world, set ourselves apart from the world, be a witness to the world, and use the Word because the Word is truth. It's important, church, because of that cross, we have the gifts that allows us access to the crown. Look at Acts 1. It says, gathering them together, he commanded. He didn't ask them not to leave Jerusalem. He commanded them. He said, I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay. And he says, John will baptize with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You know, Peter was probably the most unstable person in that group of disciples. But God knew, or Jesus knew, where Peter was. Jesus knows where you guys are. Jesus knows whether we have the strength to go forward or not. Jesus knows the fears that we have in all of our lives. Jesus knows the anxiety and all the things. He knew, and he knew the same thing with Peter. And he says, what you're going to need before you can go forward is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, how much of the Holy Spirit, or how much more of the Holy Spirit will God give to them that ask? God was about to ask, or Jesus was about to ask the disciples to do something more than they had the strength to do. And he knew that what they needed was the Holy Spirit. And Peter, who was a guy, again, that was just absolutely unstable, he was a wimpy old fisherman, turned into a rock. A rock where God said, I can build my church upon this rock. Church, you and I have got to get to the place to understand that every day of our life we get up fighting spiritual battles, and we need the spiritual tools, and the spiritual tools give us the access because of the cross. And if you got the cross, and again, you've got the crown, and if I'm standing in the presence of God, the Bible says those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High can abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and there's not a safer place to be. Many people will argue whether or not a spirit-empowered moment is a normality. And you know, we get so excited when people will come to church and we'll anoint them with oil and all of a sudden they get healed. We get so excited to go, woo, wow! But see, we ought to just wake up every day going, that's just a normal part of our life. We got the Word. We are sanctified by the Word. And we get up every day doing what the Word tells us to do. And when someone would get healed, that's just a normal part of life. That's just what God's Word says. How are we going to get there? Many people have a, well, that was then and them kind of attitude. Look at Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Shortly after that, church, you will see that 3,000 people were converted in one day. Church, if 3,000 people were converted in one day back then I think that there's a problem, because it doesn't seem that we can convert three people And what you and I've got to understand is that we worship the same God back then. We worship the same God today. He will be the same God tomorrow. God is not a respecter of people. And if 3,000 people could have been saved back then 3,000 people could be saved today. Look at Acts 4. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do what your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservant may speak your word with all confidence. It means boldness. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. You know, church, that was then, and that was them. But here's what I say to you today. What we need more than ever is now and us. If 3,000 people could have been saved back then 3,000 people can be saved today. But the problem is that we don't think ourselves worthy enough to be in front of the crown, but again, we've got to focus on the cross. Our God demonstrated how we are to live. I did this in the first service, and God's just pointing me to somebody to do it too. Here's what I want you to do. Take one of those pieces of bread, brother. When you eat that piece of bread, you have to know that that's the body of your Lord Jesus Christ. We know where you used to be, but we know where you are. And we know it's because of that body that gave you, my brother, access to the cross. So anytime that you eat that bread, you got to understand because of that bread that you have the right to be in God's presence. What you used to be is old, but what you are today is new. You are a brand new creature in Christ, and don't let anybody ever tell you anything different. So you take and you eat. And then it says, this is a covenant, brand new covenant. But see, that's the blood. In all the things that make us do the things we used to do, that dis-ease has been handled by the blood of Jesus on the cross. We don't have to act that way no more. And people are going to come to you to go, well, you go, I'm a child of the Most High God. No, I'm not what I used to be. And it's because of that blood that I get my ease back. It's because of the blood that I get my ability back. It's because of that blood I get my joy back. It's because of the blood that I am who I am today. So you drink and you do it in remembrance of Him. Church, today I want us all to come to this table. But I want you to come to the table today with a different mindset. We've all gone through the bread. We've all drank the wine. We've all gone through the religious line of ceremonial traditions. But I want you to understand that you're not who you think you are. I want you to know that you are better than you think you are. And there are people in this room living best, less than God's best for their lives. And I want you to stand tall when you leave here today to go, I am a child of God. And I have the right to eat that piece of bread. I have the right to drink that wine. I have the right to get up today and leave this world or leave this room and demonstrate and be a witness to a lost and dying world. You can't do it by yourself, but you can do it with the power of God. You can do it with the Holy Spirit, and you can do it with the boldness to go, I know who I am, and I'm going to change this world for the cause of Christ. Bible tells us before we come and take that we need to sit down and spend some time with the Lord. And I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. The cross gave us the gift of confession, and the cross gave us the gift of repentance. So confess your sins to the Lord. And then understand today that you have to repent. Stop doing it. So get yourself right with the Lord. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for obedience. And then we'll come and participate in his supper.